Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. As many of you know, we've been going through a series on discipleship. And one of the things that I'm burdened about is getting our people to be involved in discipleship. I have a lady that I led to the Lord last Monday night, a week ago Monday night, came off of the open house and she got saved, trusted Christ as Savior. And here's what she said to me. She said, "Pastor, I want to learn how to be a Christian. This is for her." She said, "Sign me up." So now I'm looking for a lady that would say, "You know what, Pastor? That's for me. That's what I want to do. I'm willing to help this lady. I'm willing to go and teach her and spend a little time with her, answer questions, and take her through." We already have 5 lessons ready. And, you know, it'll take her, you know, a week or two to get those lessons down. And then we'll have some more ready. So if that's something that you're interested in, see me immediately after the service. And by the way, I should have a line of people that would do that. I really should. Because, you know, if someone did something for you, you should be willing to do something for somebody else. You should be willing to pass it forward. You know, the problem we have right now today is we are so used to everybody feeding us. We want to sit back and say, "Go ahead, Pastor, you feed us." No, your job is to go out and help others. And amen? I'm not mad at you. I'm just helping you, okay? Because it's true, and every one of you could do that. In fact, you'll learn more by doing that than you would by sitting and listening to me anyway. You know, because it's just something about your getting involved in it makes all the difference in the world. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. Don't you just love the Bible? And I'm teaching you how to be a disciple so you can be a discipler. And I want to help you with that tonight. I'm going to be speaking on the subject and addressing the subjects I'm teaching you. I'm training you to be a disciple is, what is our foundation? What is my foundation? What is the thing that you would say my anchor in life? What is that? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Look at verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Thank you, and you may be seated. You do realize that a solid foundation is essential to building a house that will stand the test of time. If you're going to build a good house, a strong house, you're going to have a solid foundation. There's no doubt about it. I was reading, I believe it was last week, in the front page of a paper about a man who was born in a house just outside the base here. Maybe some of you might have read that. And he was born in that house, and he had left here, I don't know how many years ago, like back when he was a child. He left and he came back, and he's 93 years old, and he came to look at the house that he was born in. And it was like, you know, like a four room house. And that house is still standing today. That meant that whoever built that house some over 100 years ago built it with a great foundation. Because there's weather, there's storms, there's other things that come along the way besides the deterioration that comes with a home. It is critical for you to have a strong foundation in your Christian life. It is very important that you have that. There will be storms and testings and adversities that life brings along the way that you will need a strong foundation if you're going to withstand that. Now, I want you to understand what that means. This foundation comes from reading, knowing, and applying the Word of God to your life. Let me say that one more time. It comes from reading, knowing, and applying God's Word to your life. It's amazing to me how many people know but do not do what the Word of God says. You see, you're going to have a weak foundation. You could be a believer, a Christian, for many years and never get beyond where you are until you start taking the Word of God and applying it to your life. That is critical. The Bible is God's perfect and infallible book. You understand that? It has no errors in it. There are no contradictions in it. It is unique. It is like no other book. In fact, if I were to have a stack of books right here in front of me, I would want to put the Bible on top, because the Bible never goes under the books. It always goes above the books. It is unique. There is no book like it. For someone to say, well, you know, I read the Bible all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, and so I got it. They don't know the book. I have read the Bible through myself many times, from cover to cover. I'm not bragging. Many of you have read the Bible through many times. But one of the things I found about the Bible is that the more you read the Bible, the more that you find you learn new things. God is always teaching you. I can't always say that about books I've read. I've read books on sports. I've read books on history. I've read books on geography. I've read books on, you know, on other subjects that I'm interested in. And I'm going to be honest with you. Those books, after you read them a couple times, that's all I can need to read them. But the Bible's not like any other book. It's very unique. It's one of a kind. It is the Word of God. It was written by over 1,600 years by 40 different authors. And yet, in it, it is one continuous harmony. There are no contradictions. There's no errors anywhere. In fact, what I have found is that there are times when I thought there was, only to realize later the error was not with the Bible, the error was with me. So the Bible's like that. It is our foundation. Now, it's important for us. Remember, we're discipling people, and so I'm teaching you as if you were discipling someone. I'm going to tell you some things about the Bible. It is used. There's different terms for the same book. It has been called the book. It's been called the precepts. It's been called the Ten Commandments, or the commandments of God. It's been called the Bible. It's been called the Scriptures. All of these and others, there's a ton of names that all go with what we call the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the testimonies of God. In fact, if you go to Psalm 119, God gives a whole list of words that He personally puts in inspiration, He puts in the Bible for us, that tells us what this book could be called also. So when you talk about the Bible, you can use different terminology. Sometimes I'll stand and say, open the Scriptures. And sometimes I'll stand and say, open your Bible. And sometimes I'll stand and say, this book. It's all pointing to the same Bible that you hold in your hand. That's what we're talking about. So that's important. I want you to look in your notes in there, in your handout that you were given when you came in. I want you to notice in your notes 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Would you look at that? That's for your memory verse. And what that says is this. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So when I use the term inspiration, some people misunderstand what that word is. Some people think the idea of inspiration is, well, you know, one day I was just sitting there and I was inspired to do something. And you know, I think it's great if you get inspired to do something, don't you? And I don't know if you've ever sat around one day, I'm inspired to clean my room or to go out and barbecue in the backyard, or maybe to write a poem or write in my journal. You know, but that's not the same meaning here. That's not the same. The word inspiration in this passage means God breathed out, His very words. All of His words. That's what it means. And so it's important for you to know that when you look at the Bible, you can say, well, this isn't just words. These are God's words. Totally different. Are you with me? So it's God's communication to man. It's the way God speaks to us. Now, God does not speak to us audibly. I've never actually heard the voice of God. I've had the impression of God in my heart, and we'll discuss that another time, but I've never heard God verbally speak, but the Bible says God speaks through the pages of His Word. That's how God speaks. And since these words are not men's ideas or men's thoughts, they are the very words of God, God teaches us something about His Bible. His Bible is as food to the body is, the Bible says His words are food to the soul. Are you with me? So if I want to feed my spirit, I want to feed my spirit the Word of God. Now, here's what He says. I'm going to give you some verses here. For example, Matthew 4, verse 4, He says, "But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then He goes on in 1 Peter 2, in verse 2, "As newborn babes do desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So as you can see, God's word is like food. And when we trust Christ as Savior, we are like a new baby. And when I mean trust Christ as Savior, that doesn't mean that we were baptized or we become member of a church, but it means that we realize that we were sinners and we can't go to heaven on our own, and we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and He is our Savior and our Lord. And the day that we do that, the Bible says we're like newborn babes. So our desire will be for the milk of God's Word. Our soul's going to be hungry for it. But here's what I found out. There's also error out here, false teaching out here, that will be floating around, that will be trying to feed your soul to hurt you. And if you're not careful, you could buy right into that, because when your soul's hungry, it's going to seek to find its fulfillment. And you want to make sure it's filled with God's Word, because when you do that, you'll be satisfied and there'll be nothing else you're going to want outside of God's Word. Very, very important. Don't lose sight of that. And so that's what God is teaching. Now, there's some things about the Bible, since it's building our foundation, since it's strengthening us, there are some things about God's Word you need to know. Number one, God commands us to read His Word. Let's look at some of those verses where God commands us to read His Word. For example, in Joshua 1, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know what God says? God says, you are commanded to read His Word. I remember when I was first saved, when I trusted Christ, a guy told me, "You're supposed to read your Bible." And I said, "I did. When I got saved, I read it." He says, "No, you don't understand. You read it every day." "Every day? Does a preacher do that?" "Yeah, the preacher does that." Does everybody around me do that?" "Well, Christians should read their Bible every day." Couldn't answer that one. But we should read our Bible every day. And God commands us to. But there's something about that verse that God teaches us. There's three real quick thoughts I want you to notice it. Number one, God teaches us when we're to read His Word. What does the Bible say? When are we supposed to read it? Day and night. The question comes up a lot of times. People say to me, when should I read it? Should I read it in the morning or should I read it at night? Well, the truth of the matter is, you can read it anytime. I'm not so convinced that you know, you have to read it in the morning, although I say it's best to read it in the morning. Here's the reason why. It's because when you get up in the morning, your mind is fresh. You haven't gone into the day yet. You haven't gotten your mind cluttered with all the things. Hopefully you don't turn on the news yet. Get up, read your Bible right away. You don't have all the clutter of the earthquake just happened last night. You know, and I don't have all these things going on, and I don't know what's happening. And, you know, I get up and I read my Bible. Because I would rather hear from heaven first before than I hear from the earth. That's why I like reading it first thing in the morning. It gets me equipped and ready to go for my day. But you can read it at night if you choose to. Maybe some people get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, or some people work nights and they have to be out all night long and they come home, they have to go to bed, then they, you know, sleep until, you know, 4 or 5 and they get up and read. I mean, that's fine. You can read it day and night. The key is not so much when, the key is that you do it. All right? So number one, God tells us when. Number two, God tells us how to read it. We meditate on it. That's what he tells us in that verse. The word meditate means to think upon it. And it's not like with the Bible that we read it and it's kind of like a newspaper. We read the article, it's out of our mind. But the Bible is something that we think about as I open it up. When I read these verses here tonight, like tonight, I hope that you'll meditate on them, that you'll take the pages home and think about it tomorrow, because that's important. Meditation, mulling it over in your mind. And then one more thought that God gives to us, he tells us what his word will do for us. In Joshua 1:8, here's what he says, it will make you successful. Now, don't miss that. But it's not talking about financial success as we become accustomed to in this world. It's talking about spiritual success. In other words, you might say it this way, if you don't read your Bible, you'll be a spiritual failure. Amen? And here's my question. Do we want to be good Christians or bad Christians? Good Christians. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do we want to be for Christ? We want to be a 10, right? We can't be a 10 if we're not reading God's Word. We are going to fail. And you will fail. And there are some people who are not here tonight because they fail somewhere along the way. And so God commands us that if we're going to be a spiritual success, that we need God's word to guide us so that we can be a success. So that's what we learn. That's why God commands us to read his word. In fact, there's another verse, 2 Timothy 2. I showed you. Look at your sheet there. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, as we study God's word, it will have an effect on our lives. There's a man, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but his name is Josh McDowell. Anyone ever heard of Josh McDowell? Josh McDowell is an interesting man because Josh McDowell was an unbeliever. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't care about the Bible. He didn't care about the things of God. In fact, what he did was he set out to disprove the Bible. And when he went out to disprove the Bible, the more he read, the more he realized the Bible was right and he was wrong. He got saved, and now he preaches for Campus Crusade. He's all over the country, and I actually have heard him speak in public. And I remember I went to a college where he was speaking at a college campus. And when I got there, he had these books called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. These were all the notes that he collected when he was trying to disprove the Bible, but he had to take the other side that the Bible is right and he was wrong. Evidence proves the Bible's right. So when you read the Bible, what it does, well, it'll read you. And it will change your life. There's no doubt about that. So that's important. So God commands us to read his word. Second of all, God uses his word to keep us from sin. in Psalm 119, verse 11. I put that in your notes there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, that God says that as I open the Bible and I read the Bible, that God tells me about sin. God tells me about the things that go on around me. God tells me about what I'm to watch out for. God tells me about ways of escape. God tells me about ways to deal with problems. God tells me about those things so that I don't have to sin. That's what God's Word is for. God gave me the Bible so that I can be successful in my Christian life, so I don't have to sin. One man said this, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. A lot of truth to that, isn't it? In other words, the more I read the Bible, whenever I'm tempted, we're all tempted, by the way. We're all tempted. And yet, it's not a sin to be tempted, it's just a sin to give in. And whenever we're tempted, the Bible tells us how to deal with the temptation. It's just, that's how powerful the Bible is. So if you find yourself struggling, just remember, go back and read the Bible. The Bible always guides you. And then another thought here, that God gives illumination regarding life in His Word. I love this verse. Look at your note there. It's Psalm 119, 105. Here's what it says. It says, thy word. Notice God uses a word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He goes on in 2 Peter, and he uses this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures are any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now let me explain what that means. That means this. That means that when you got saved, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The moment you trusted Christ, you didn't realize it, I didn't realize it, but the Holy Spirit came into your life. You are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And what the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that guided the men as they penned down those words. He's the one that, as He wrote those words down, He guided their hand where they had no errors in it. And since the Holy Spirit of God was the writer of the Bible, and since we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, when we open up the Bible it illuminates life for us. You see, the truth of the matter is a lot of people are here in this world, they are looking for a purpose. They're looking for something. How many times if you were to go out and you would ask someone, what is your purpose in life? I guarantee you a majority of people say, I don't know why I'm here. Some think they're here because, you know, they're to make money. Some think they're here because they're to, you know, take care of their family. Some think they're here because, you know, they're going to leave something for the world. You know, they're going to impact the world, you know, for this or that. You know, but most people don't know why they're here, what their life's purpose is. The Bible tells every one of us what our purpose is in life. It's the illumination. God illuminate. He tells us about what life is all about, why there's wars in the Middle East and what's going to happen in the future and all about those things. We get all of that right in the Bible. Can you see why it's our foundation? Can you see why it's so important that we have this as a foundation? Because the Bible talks about storms that come in our life. And we've all been through storms. We've all been through testing. We've all been through trials. We've all struggled through things. We've all had family issues and family problems. And we've all had those things that come our way. But we need some guide, and that foundation is the Word of God. So that's what God says about His Word. And He wants us to realize that when we go to the church, whatever church we go to, that church better be preaching the Bible. Not philosophy, not psychology, not entertainment, the Bible. Because without the Bible, you have no foundation. So that's important. Now, what does God do with the Holy Spirit? How does God take the Holy Spirit and use that? Well, God's Word gives us illumination, but the Holy Spirit and His Word guides us. Now, notice our memory verse again. Would you go back and look at it with me, please, just a moment? The Bible says that God gave His Word through by inspiration. It's the inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? God breathed. And then He tells us four reasons that He gave those to us. He said number one is for doctrine. So what we do is we're going to look at this and outline these four words. Doctrine. Doctrine means that which is right. The Word of God tells me that which is right. So if I were to say, okay, you know, I've got to make some important decisions. I need to know what is right. The Bible gives me that. And the more I read the Bible every day, the more I'm introduced to what is right, and it comes in my life. I start thinking on that. That's what is right. So the Bible gives me doctrine. Number two, reproof. The Bible tells me what is wrong. So when I turn on my television set and I hear on the Discovery Channel, a guy says, you know, 65 billion years ago, I know that somewhere along the way this guy's messed up. Because the Bible says that our earth can be no more than 10,000 years old. Very clear in the Scriptures. So I know what is wrong and I know what's right. And something else, when I go out here and I do something I shouldn't do, and I don't even know I've done it until I open up the Bible says, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. Then the Bible is reproving me. Let me ask you a question. Does God have a right to reprove me through His Word? Absolutely. I need reproving. I want God to do that. So that, in fact, I will tell you this. If you go to church and a man preaches the Bible and you're reproved, be thankful to God that God's reproving you through His Word. Realize it's not a man, it's His Word. If the man's preaching God's Word, then there's a reproving. That's the way God does it. Does that make sense? Thirdly, correction. Correction is how to get right. God tells me how He wants me to get right. What does He want me to do? Does it mean confess my sin? Does it mean come and get saved? Does it mean to get baptized? Does it mean to join the church? Does it mean to start praying more? Does it mean to be, you know, less covetous about things? Does it mean to stop lying? Does it mean to stop stealing? Does it mean to stop having lust in my heart? Does it mean to you know, have forgiveness in my heart? Is that, you know, whatever it is, God's Word tells me how to make right what I've done wrong. And then instruction is on how to keep me right. How can I stay on the course right? Paul talks about that in the passage. And so this is what God's Word is for. But there's one more note before we kind of wrap up here, is God's Word, and this must be underlined. God's Word is complete. And there are no additional books we add to, nor should we ever take away from His Word. In other words, we haven't lost anything. We're not adding any books to the Bible. The Bible is 100% complete. That's very important. You say, how do you know that? Well, there's some verses that tell me that. Number one, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Notice what it says. It says, ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Notice, commandments, Word. Talking about the Bible. Here's what God says. You're not to add to it, nor are you to take away from it. And you know, we have to keep that in mind, because there's a lot of people out here will tell us things like, well, you know, here's another book that goes with the Bible. No, this is the only book. This is it. There is no other. You don't add another book to the Bible. But there is one side note to keep in mind, though. The Bible does not answer every one of our questions. There's some questions that we'll always have. There's some great mysteries. For example, you'll never have all the answers. The Bible doesn't give all the answers. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. So there's just some things that are mysterious. We don't know. God's not given us everything. He's just given us what he wants us to know. So keep that in mind when you open your Bible and you're sitting here saying, you know, I've been looking for that from cover to cover and I can't seem to find all the answers. Now, God may not have illuminated you yet on some of those answers, but then there's some answers that you will never find the answer to. That's the mystery of God. In fact, there's another verse, and I won't read that tonight, but there's another verse that says, great is the mystery of godliness. Because God's mystery is great. We can't figure it out. And we'll never get to that place where we are because he's God. So that's important. All right, let's take a few minutes and answer some questions now about our lesson. Just right there in your notes, I've given you about 8 questions. Let's take just about 2 minutes or so and answer those questions. Would you please?